Blog Talk Radio.
You're about to listen to the Roman Show.
The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
With a future and a past, a little attitude problem, all good, it'll make the shit last. Don't make it too easy, girl, don't take it too fast. Yeah, that's it right there, that's it, do it just like that. Only you could do it just like that. And I love it when your hair's still wet, cause you just took a shower, running on a treadmill and on the inside.
Alright, welcome everyone to the Roman Show MMA edition. As always, joining me, my co-host Guillermo, the MMA Encyclopedia Garcia. Guillermo, how are we doing today, my man?
Great, man. We had a great weekend of MMA. Two epic fights. Nothing to complain about at all.
We sure did. And, gosh, I was just shocked of so many fights. They were great. It was definitely a great time this Saturday night to be tuned in as an MMA fan because it was just nonstop action. And even on Sunday morning Eastern time with Fedor and Jeff Munson fighting in Russia, it was just nonstop. It really started actually on Friday because Strikeforce had an event on Showtime. But it was just nonstop. It shows you again how much this sport has grown. But nonetheless, as Guillermo stated, we were bombarded by MMA. And at one of these events, the Roman Show was there. We had the opportunity to be live at that Bellator 58 event where we witnessed one of the fight of the years, a possible fight of the year nomination between Eddie Alvarez and Michael Chandler for the lightweight belt. What an amazing fight that was, Guillermo. Everyone was on their feet.
It was one of the best fights I've ever seen. I mean, that was better than Bonner and Griffin, in my opinion. I mean, there's a very few fights that can compete with that one. The Henderson and Shogun being one of them, but that fight was amazing to see live. The energy was incredible.
I have attended so many shows down here in South Florida, and I'll be honest, I have never, ever witnessed a crowd so hyped in a fight. Everyone in that arena at the Hard Rock Live was on their feet from, I would say, about a minute so into the first round, everyone was on their feet. Now, one person was sitting down, Guillermo. Even the press row, the guys that were on their computers typing, were typing standing up. That's how much this fight was so darn good, Guillermo. Non-stop,
absolutely,
man.
Absolutely. It was an amazing fight. I mean, everybody had to stand up because you couldn't see because everybody was jumping up and down in front of you. You had no choice. I mean, it was such a good fight. You know, it was amazing.
Yeah. And girls, I saw some girls that were panicking and worried because of all the nonstop action, the pinches, the blood. Later on, we went after the fight. We went to the press conference, and we interviewed. We had the opportunity to interview Mike Chandler. Now, Eddie Alvarez was not present at the press conference. We were expecting him. Bjorn Revny, the chairperson of Bellator, said he was going to show up. He never did. So, unfortunately, we were unable to speak to him. But, Guillermo, before we move on, later on, catch up a little bit with the news that's happening in the MMA world. It's going to slow down a little bit now as we head on over to the Thanksgiving weekend. But let's play this interview. This is just, I would say, about 40 minutes, an hour after that epic fight between Mike Chandler and Eddie Alvarez. And what a fight. And by the way, guys, we're going to have Mike today on the show. We're going to have Bjorn Revny on the show. We had an extensive interview with him, which we asked him several questions regarding Eddie Alvarez and others, other questions. And we also have Hector Lombard. And Guillermo, you were next to me. I'm not quite sure if you heard the complete conversation we had. But he calls out several people who don't tend to like him for some apparent reason. So we're going to hear what Hector Lombard has to say about, and I quote him, his haters. And we are also expecting a phone call from Eric Prindle, who will be competing in the finals of the heavyweight tournament. Well, actually, he's already competing for the title come this Saturday, if I'm correct. Right, Guillermo?
Well, he's fighting for the tournament championship. The title's held by Cole Conrad.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can win the tournament, then he gets a shot at Conrad later on.
And that is this this Alex Vila is going to be fighting at Bellator, a very good friend of ours here at the Roman Show. So a lot of stuff happening. And, of course, we're going to talk about UFC 139 with an epic battle between Shogun and Anderson. A lot of people were trying to compare the both fights, but I don't think you can. Each fight has its own.
It was different. Yeah, absolutely.
It was very different. You see, the Eddie and the Mike had more of a stand-up compared to the Shogun and Henderson, which had more of a ground game. And it was just two fights, two complete different fights.
Yeah, but the dynamic was different.
Awesome.
The way that the fights went down was different. Where in the Henderson-Shogun fight, Henderson dominated the first three rounds and had Shogun, like, nearly finished in the first three rounds. And then Shogun was nearly finishing Henderson in the last two rounds. I mean, like, it was very one-sided for three rounds and then one very one-sided the other way for two rounds. Whereas in the Chandler-Alvarez fight, it was just back and forth. Like it wasn't like one guy dominated for an entire round. It was like one guy dominated for 10 seconds, then the other guy would come back and dominate for the other 10 seconds. And they were both on the brink of being really badly hurt and finished, like, every moment of the fight. So you never knew when the fight was going to end because it was back and forth. Literally, one guy would be beating the other, and then the other guy would come back and take advantage. And you just never knew. It was one momentum swing after another constantly for four rounds.
It was nonstop. Anyone could have taken that fight. Anyone. So
at any moment, any guy could have finished the other. You just never knew.
That's right. I mean, emotions were running so high that night. It was literally like a roller coaster. If you were either an Eddie fan or a Mike fan, or if you were just an MMA fan, your emotions were just going bananas. You didn't even know what the heck to expect. And if you weren't there, I know several people in South Florida were there, but boy, gosh, and we can tell you all these things, but there was nothing like it to be there live. But let's go ahead quickly to this interview with Mike Chandler. As soon as he finished his fight, winning the lightweight Bellator championship belt, here he talks to us. Mind you, and I want to take this into consideration, Mike is still bleeding from his face as he is talking to me. He's not wiping the sweat out of his face. He's wiping blood out of his face. Here's the interview, guys.
All right, the Roman Show here with Michael Chandler, the new lightweight champion. Mike, tell us about this victory. They're saying already that it could possibly be the fight of the year.
That would be awesome. Honestly, don't really, I don't remember really much what was going on. I mean, I know it was a great fight. Eddie had me up against the ropes in the third big time. You know, he hit me with some big shots. My face shows it. I hit him with some big shots. You know, it was a slugfest, basically, you know. It was great. You know, it was able to, you know, come out and get the victory and then the fourth, and it was great.
That was the exact question that I was going to ask you next. I mean, it was from all out war, from top to bottom, nonstop. You were rocking at one point. He was rocking at one point.
Yeah.
At any time, did you see yourself just seeing why and see, I can't go on anymore? You just kept going. What was behind it?
It's indomitable will to quit, man. Just, I mean, like I talked about earlier, my wrestling background has prepared me. There's nothing I'm going to see in the cage that I haven't already been through besides, you know, the punches and the kick aspect, but you know, the physical and the mental stuff that I've already been through. I just knew I wasn't going to quit. There was no way. He would have had to knock me out or put me out to make me quit.
So was this a strategy you had? Was this the strategy you had from the get-go to defeat Eddie Alvarez, who was a top-ranked fighter?
Oh, man, Eddie, you saw it. He was coming and coming and coming and coming forward getting hit with big shots, still coming forward. That's why I always talk about Eddie is the type of guy that we need in this sport. You know, he comes forward. He gets in guys' faces. He puts on exciting fights. And he's a great ambassador of the sport. So I knew that he was going to keep coming forward, and he did. And I literally had to get him to that position where I was able to choke him. But, you know, I knew it was going to be a tough fight. And my goal was to match his intensity and then go, above and beyond.
Yeah. Now, when you're in a war like that, and there's huge swings in momentum, the crowd's buzzing, do you feel any of that, or are you just concentrated, you're in a tunnel, you're just looking for openings? What are you feeling in that?
Yeah, I don't really feel the crowd much. Just focus. Just focus on the task at hand. You know, I'm blessed to be at Extreme Couture, where I'm training with really, really good guys, and they're dropping bombs on me, and they're pushing me, and they're pushing the pace, and they're not letting me breathe. You know, that's the reason I moved to Extreme Couture. Threw everything in my car, drove out there a year ago, and that's the type of atmosphere that you have to be in day in and day out if you want to, you know, be the best. And you know, that's one of the big reasons I was prepared tonight. You know, I knew, you know, you just got to focus. You know, you're going to get hit. You're going to get stumbled. You just got to keep coming forward.
Now, when you were planning those big bombs on you in the third round, did you think, oh, man, I have to change strategy here? Did you panic at all?
Man, it was definitely the first time. I mean, you know, eventually, hopefully, I'll get better at getting hit over and over and over again. But, I mean, it was a situation where I didn't. It was the first time I've ever been in that situation. You know, he was coming forward, hitting me. So I just had to try not to get hit too many times. You know, try to look for a shot that didn't really work out very well. That was pretty embarrassing. But just hang in there. I mean, and then we got the win. So
thanks so much. How do you
feel that being in this part of this main event, and you know, you got the UFC and all these things, but you kind of got, you guys, both you and Eddie, got the spotlight on Bellator tonight because of this amazing fight.
Yeah, I mean Bellator deserves it. I mean, I'm tired of the haters out there talking about Bellator. They don't have this, they don't have that. Man, Bjorn is building something beautiful here, and he believes in it, he lives it. And you know, tonight was a great fight. And I am, you know, just blessed to be a part of this whole night. You know, and got the belt now, so it's time to defend it. Time to get better and become the best in the world, without a doubt. You know.
Mike, thank you so very much
thank
for your
you,
time.
Man,
thank you so very much. Alrighty, thank you. There you go, the words
Michael
of the
Chandler.
New champ, Michael Chandler, the new lightweight champion here of Bellator Fighting Championship.
Well, there you go, Guillermo. Steve, Mike Chandler, as soon as his fight was over, if you missed the interview, you tuned in late, head on over to thefightnerd.com. TheFightNerd.com. You're not only going to be able to hear it, but you're going to see it for yourself. The interview when Guillermo and I interviewed Chandler, I think the first interview at that press conference over there in Hollywood, Florida. And you can see for yourself, guys, the punishment this guy took. Because you see how he stepped away from my recorder, grab a couple of napkins, wipe that blood out of his face. And you saw his face too, Guillermo. You saw it with your very own eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he took a hell of a beating. I mean, it looked like he was going to – I mean, between the third and fourth rounds, you had to wonder where he was at, because he just got whooped pretty badly in the third round. So, I mean, it's amazing that he was able to swing the momentum in the fourth with that big right hand and able to submit Eddie. Amazing performance by Chandler.
And soon after, we had the opportunity to interview – Bjorn Remner, chairman of Bellator. And this is what he could tell us. A lot of people were concerned. In fact, some of the official Bellator are wondering as far as ratings, because in the past, when the UFC held pay-per-views, Bellator didn't rating. But things are changing. Because despite the UFC 139 card, which was stacked, because all those fights were great, Bellator 58, which aired on MTV2, scored 269,000 viewers, which is actually up, believe it or not. October's Bellator 52 card for the highest overall ratings of the company's current season. So they did okay. Now, we asked them about that, and we asked them about possibly having Bellator air on a different date before they aired it at one point on Thursday night. Now, this is what I wanted to tell, and as far as this match or this fight, and also about Hector Lombard's future. This is what Bjorn had to say.
Put off Roman here with Bjorn Remner, chairman of Bellator Fighting Championship. Bjorn, congratulations on a great show.
Thanks.
An amazing main event with Eddie Alvarez and Michael Chandler.
Yeah.
I mean, you had the whole entire crowd on their feet. No one, no one sat down.
I know, from start to finish. How cool was that? Like I said, I think I've been watching these fights since 1993. I think it's the best fight I've ever seen. And I've been in dark shows where there was no TV, where there was no lights, there was no cameras. I've seen, you know, multiple UFC shows. I've seen all the Pride shows. I mean, we're watching this game when nobody knew what it was about, and I think that's the best fight I've ever seen.
Did you expect that, or was it a surprise for you?
You never expect that. I mean, you never expect that. You couldn't. I mean, if you'd sat down and you were trying to script a movie, I don't think you could have scripted that. I mean, it was just from when Mike first came out and almost finished the fight with Ed at the beginning of the first, and then Ed came back, and it was back and forth in the second, and then Ed almost took Mike out in the third, and it was just back and forth. I mean, you can never anticipate that you're going to get a fight like that. I thought it was just great. I mean, I can't get over how great I thought that fight was.
Sitting down not only as a chairman but as a fan, I mean, what was going through your head? You're feeling your emotions.
Just trying to stay calm and not look like an idiot, because I wanted very badly to get up and start cheering like crazy for both guys, because, you know, I mean, I came into this as a fan, you know, years ago, and I didn't have anything to do with the business of MMA. And I used to sit around with my buddies and drink beer and eat pizza, and we used to scream like idiots. And that's, you know, I mean, that's what, you know, part of the chairman and CEO's job is to not start cheering like an idiot, you know what I mean, as much as you'd like to. But, man, it was just, I'm a huge Eddie Alvarez fan. I'm a huge Mike Chandler fan. It was just great. I mean, it was just exciting. It was exciting to be able to sit cage side and watch that fight.
Now, you're now at Bellator assigned with Spike, and you're going to be airing that in 2013. Just take, for example, tonight. You had a phenomenal fight, and the whole entire show was great for itself.
Yeah.
The lumbar and so forth. But at the same time, you had the UFC on the other side. So are you guys thinking of possibly having Bellator at another time, another date, so they won't intervene or whatnot?
Yeah, we've given some thought to changing days. Absolutely. We've given some thought to changing days and times, and we're looking at it. You know, Saturdays are tough because you've got the UFC and you've got pay-per-views and boxing, so we're looking at it. We haven't made any definitive decision yet, but we're looking at different options, yeah, without question.
Well, originally you were on Thursday.
Yeah.
And how did that work out?
Thursdays were good from a ratings perspective, but they were very difficult from a fan perspective. You know what I mean? It's tough to get people on a Thursday night to get motivated, buy a ticket, park, and then go out. And, you know, people kind of want to go out to an MMA event, and they want to grab some drinks and relax and have a good time. And that's not easy to do when you got to get up at 6 o'clock the next morning and go to work. So Thursdays are difficult. But, you know, there's other options out there that we're looking at. Yeah, Fridays are sure an option as well, you know. And it has, obviously, more advantages than Thursdays does and some disadvantages. But we're weighing and balancing all of that.
One thing that also caught my attention was the lead. They put on a great fight, too. I mean, before the Eddie Alvarez fight, it was the fight of the night.
Without question, yeah.
And you guys definitely are supporting women's MMA.
Yeah.
You know, Strikeforce has it, too, but we haven't seen so much action as much as Bellator.
Yeah. I just think there are some incredibly talented female fighters out there that deserve this platform. Jessica Aguilar and Lisa Ellis put on an incredible fight. I mean, if it weren't for Mike Chandler and Ed Alvarez, that's the fight of the night. Back and forth and give and take. I mean, it was just a great fight. And Jessica can fight with anybody in the world. I mean, Jessica had a back and forth with Zoila Frosto, our champion. A lot of people thought she won the fight. I'm going to keep supporting it. We're going to keep putting on great women's fights. Megumi Fujii and Jessica Aguilar would be an amazing fight.
Can we see that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Megumi's got a knee problem that she's battling through, and if she can get that knee problem healed, I would love to make that fight.
Can there be some time next year?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, she's coming around nicely, and so hopefully if she can get it together, we put that fight together in short order. That'd be a great fight. Great fight.
Let's talk about lumbar now. Apparently today.
Yep.
What is we also got Shlemenko. But what else is out there for lumbar here?
We've got an amazing 185-pound tournament coming up in Season 6. We have signed a series of 8 just unbelievable fighters at 185 pounds. It's far and away the strongest 185-pound tournament we've ever done. So Hector will wait for that tournament. In the interim, he'll fight Alexander Shlemenko. And Shlemenko's looked very good. I mean, he was dominant against Vitor Viana. He knocked out, you know, Brian Rogers here in a spectacular, in Atlantic City in a spectacular fight, and he looked really, really good here against Zell Galasek. So, you know, it's difficult with Hector, much like the UFC has issues with Anderson Silva. There's not, you know, it's just there doesn't seem to be a challenger over there that can really test him, and there doesn't seem to be a challenger here that can test Hector. So we'll see. I think Alexander Slamenko will be a good test.
Yeah, the big question is Eddie Alvarez's future. Are you leaning more towards a one-off fight or him being in a tournament? Is he open to being in a tournament? What's the situation?
Yeah, Ed's a battler. Ed's going to want to come back, and he's going to want to avenge this loss to Mike Chandler, and the way that he can get there is winning a tournament. So, you know, I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm a huge Eddie Alvarez fan. Have been since the day I started recruiting him 3 years ago. So we'll sit down. He's obviously got to get his head straight. I mean, that was a very, very tough fight. So I'll give him some time, and I'm crazy about him as a fighter. I'm crazy about him as a human being. I love his family, so we'll wait. We'll see what happens, and we'll talk to him. I hope that he would choose to come back into a tournament and win that tournament and fight in what would be one of the best rematches that we could ever make.
So that's the only way he's getting a title shot again, through a tournament.
Yeah.
One-on-one again.
Nope.
Eddie's still contractually with you guys for a while?
Yeah, Ed's still with us, and he's great. Ed's got a huge heart. He's a fighter's fighter. My assumption would be that Ed would crawl over broken glass and charge through fire to get a shot at Mike Chandler again. Ed is losing, and Ed don't sit well together. So I'm assuming that we'll be able to make something work with Ed to get him that opportunity.
And lastly, you've expanded all the way to Canada now.
Yeah.
You're all over the United States. You're here in Hollywood a lot. Are you coming again to Hollywood possibly?
I hope so. I hope so. Florida's been a second home for us, so I would hope that we can be back here. You know, we're expanding and doing a lot of shows all over the country now, but I'm hoping we can get back here. Sure.
And how about expanding maybe into South America or other parts?
I would love it. I mean, the depth of our division, we've got some spectacular Brazilian fighters. I think we've got 23 Brazilian fighters under contract, many of whom are the best in the world. A lot of Argentinian fighters. We've got fighters from, all over the Central and South America and Mexico. So I hope. I mean, it's tough during the season, as you and I talked about in the past, because it's so close. You know, you do one event, and 6 days later, you're getting ready for the next event. So my hope would be that we could do some specials, maybe summer series events in South America or Mexico or Central America. So we'll see, but it would be, that'd be great.
Thank you very much, Bjorn, for
thanks.
Always a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, there you go, guys. Heck, if you're listening in Central America or Mexico, or even your neck of the woods, because I know the UFC is already there. I know the UFC, I think Bruce Buffer told us when we interviewed him that UFC might be going out there one day to Mexico. So MMA, little by little, is increasing. And since we're touching the subject of Central America, South America, the Caribbean, Guillermo, another fight that was great and Bjorn mentioned was the Jessica Adler and Elisa Ward. That was a great fight. Not until Eddie Alvarez fight, but that was the fight of the night. Before that, we even thought that Eddie Alvarez and Chandler were going to be as good as it was.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these two women, like, they're number 2 and 3 in the flyweight division worldwide. And normally they're known for their ground games. And that fight hardly ever went to the ground. I don't even think it did. I mean, they're just standing up for 15 minutes straight. And, man, if you saw both women after the fight in the post-fight interview, I mean, Jessica had a destroyed nose. Her nose got completely broken in the fight. And then Lisa had two black eyes and didn't look much better. So, I mean, they really, really went to town on each other. And it was a fantastic fight for the fans. The crowd was really getting into it.
Yeah, and just comes to show you that women can do it in the world of mixed martial arts. So now we might be able to see Aguilar, Gumi Fuji, in which Aguilar requested to. And you heard Bjorn, it will happen. Just not exactly right on the date, but possibly next year, as far as Gumi Fuji recuperates from her injury. Now, another person that was on that card was our friend Hector Lombard. Hector Lombard in the cage. He already has over 20 wins, I think he has, victories. And he's called several people, including Chowlin and Anderson Silva. He wants competition. And Bellator is giving him as much as they could. And unfortunately, the other tough opponents are happening to be the UFC. So they gave him Strangling, a guy who was well-known
has a very strong background in the world of mixed martial arts. And in the second round, here comes Lombard and knocks him out. Frankly had a height advantage from the get-go, and that did not whatsoever intimidate Hector Lombard. So we spoke to him at the press conference. Actually, we spoke to him before he actually spoke in the press conference, and this is what he had to tell us and tell those who are not supporting his career.
Hi, Rodolfo Roman, The Roman Show, with Guillermo Garcia to my right, and the champ, Hector Lombard, amazingly pulling off this victory here tonight. How are you feeling today, Hector? You were facing an opponent who was a lot taller than you, but you overcame that, and you rocked the house tonight.
As I said before, I love to fight tall guys, you know. I have amazing reflex, and no matter what they do, I can see the rope.
Tell me about Frank Lee. He was a strong competition coming in. Would you say he's one of the toughest guys you've fought so far?
Anybody who I fight, I'm going to make it look like a fool.
Now, we've been reading a lot that you tweet a lot, you're on Facebook a lot, and you've been talking about some people that talk badly about you.
Yeah.
Do you keep up with that, or does it affect you in any way?
To be honest, I got to be honest to you. It really motivates me, man. It's kind of like if everybody say, you know, how good you are, you know, you don't improve, you know? So, kind of like, for me, it's like, help me up. Fire me up and make me better. So, I need those people to, talking trash and talking really bad about me. So, that's something that fire me up and something like motivates me a little bit more.
So, you let out the steam when you work out, when you read all that stuff?
Right away. I read it and I get angry and I go to the gym.
It's your fuel.
It's my fuel. I fill it up with that.
Now, Hector,
I don't want the people give me love no more. I got so used to, you know, the haters, I'm already got used to it, so.
It's kind of like with Mike Tyson. A lot of people used to talk badly about him, and he used that stuff to come in the boxing ring and knock out his opponent.
Yeah, I seen them. The people used to give more love to Mike Tyson than they give it to me, so.
So let's talk about you, Hector. Today, Franklin, and now you're possibly going to put up your title against Flamenco. You fought him before. What can we expect from Lombard? Do you want this fight? Do you want someone else? I mean, what's next? Because you...
Hey, that guy doesn't worry me. He fought me in my worst day, and I still beat him.
You were sick that day, if I recall. You had a
right. I have a fever. I was vomiting. He fought me in my worst day, and I still beat him. So, I don't worry about him. He's a dimensional fighter. He's got no ground game. He's got no wrestling. Why should worry about him? You know, spitting buffets. You know, you should think about it. Like, I can take his ass down anytime that I want. You know, I'm better than him in the ground. My stand-up is even better than him. I stood up with him when I was sick. So why should worry about him?
One thing I know.
I know even the people say like he's obsessed about me. I hope he's not obsessed about me when he was with his girlfriend or something. Because that's very bad. If he's obsessed like that.
One thing I did notice today, Hector, you were a lot more calm in there. You were kind of really calculating the strikes. You had a nice plan going out tonight.
A lot of critics say like, you know, I rush the guys, you know, I can't win the first round when I win, or I'll never be able to win the fight, you know, after 5 minutes. So you kind of like, let the fight, let it go. And I'm confident in my skills. I was relaxed, you know, everything that the opponent bring it, I always going to have an answer, so.
You wanted to give your fans a show tonight.
I want to prove that I have an answer for everything, so.
So what's next for you, Hector, aside from Flamenco? I mean, what else do you want? You've competed out there in Australia. You're great over there. You're great in the States. Is Bellator going to give you more competition? What are you requesting?
Yeah, I'm requesting that. I'm requesting more money. I'm requesting a lot of stuff, man. And we see what happens. You know, I can't say. I can't read what's going on.
You know, one guy that you've been wanting to fight, you've been mentioning, is Silva. Anderson Silva. Or Charles Sonnen, I heard, too, that you were trying to throw that in there.
Yeah, I mean, Charles Sonnen doesn't worry me. You know, he's a dimensional fighter like Flamenco. You know, if he can take you down, what he can do? He won't win the fight. He even lost Thoreau Plainly. So you see what I do to Thoreau Plainly. I play with him.
Well, strong words there for Hector Lombard. Anything else you want to say out here in the Roman show? Anything you have in your mind?
I want to say thanks to my sponsors, like all my sponsors up there. Thank you so much. I want to say thanks to my fans, the Cuban people come to support me, all Latino people up there. I still have a lot of Latino people supporting me. You know, the countries that I live in right now, Australia, here. I want to say thank you to all these people supporting me. And, you know, the haters, you should keep it up.
Are we going to see you in Australia soon, fight?
Nah, I'm just going to go for a holiday, see my son and stuff like that. I'm missing him very much.
There you go.
And then after that, I come back here and start training again.
So, let the hate come, Hector.
Bring it.
Hector, thank you so very
thank
much.
Well, there you go. Those are the words of Hector Lombard. You got to love Hector Lombard, man. He's awesome. He's a great interview. And calling out all the haters, like he said. And it's true. On his Twitter, his Facebook, he's always on the social media and talking towards these people who are talking badly about him. So that's why I went ahead and asked this question. Many people say that, you know, talking all this gibberish on Facebook and on Twitter doesn't get to them. But like Hector Lombard said, he says he uses that stuff as fuel to go out there in the gym and train harder. And you saw how we asked them as far as having Charles Sonnen and Anderson Silva. And, you know, that's one thing that many have said. And Charles Sonnen, as we know, is a great talker. He's very entertaining. But people like Anderson Silva, Hector Lombard, I said he's a one-dimensional guy. But he did bring it to Anderson Silva until the last, minute and a half before the end of the fight, Guillermo?
Yeah, absolutely. Charles Sonnen's wrestling is definitely something to be feared. But, you know, he's always had this Achilles heel submission defense. And, you know, Lombard's always been a great wrestler himself, so that'd be a very interesting fight to see. Tail's never been knocked out before standing up, so it'd be interesting to see, first of all, if it had to stay standing, could Chael, you know, take the punishment from Hector and come back from it? And also, you know, Chael, in my opinion, Chael's wrestling's probably better than Hector's, but, you know, Hector's no slouch, so would he be able to defend some takedowns and then be able to get that knockout or not? Be a heck of a fight if they were ever able to pull it off, you know?
Hopefully one day we'll get to see something like that, because I think that Hector deserves a contender like a Silva or a Charles Sonnen. However, there are some other names that you and I have been discussing that could possibly be a good opponent for Hector. One being Gegard Mousasi, who actually was the last person Hector lost to. And I think it was in 2000.
It was in Pride, yeah. It was over in Pride Fighting Championships like five, six years ago. I don't know what kind of fighter Hector was at that time, but nowadays I think they're pretty evenly matched, to be honest with you. And I think it'd be a great fight if they were able to pull that off. I mean, Gegard's in a contract with Strikeforce where he is allowed to fight overseas and in other promotions. So I don't know what it says in his contract about Bellator, but we've seen him fight many times over in Japan. So, you know, maybe it's something that they can pull off, you know?
Uh-huh. And we're waiting for the phone call of Eric Prindle. He might be training now as he is in Arizona, and the time difference could be an issue there, but hopefully he calls. And if not, then we'll try to get him the next show, and we apologize for that. Again, some of these fighters, they train hard, and at times they just tend to forget that they have an interview. So it happens. So it doesn't call in. We apologize, and we'll have them here next week. Again, invite you to go to thefightnerd.com. You can see the interview we have with Mike Chandler at his fight. Guillermo and I show up the video, and you can see Chandler wiping out the blood out of his face after he had that epic battle with Eddie Alvarez. And guys, follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. Follow Guillermo on Twitter at StoneFace16. Head on over to our website, RodolphoRoman.com, to find out any information or news on mixed martial arts. And visit our fan page, Facebook.com/RodolphoRoman. And if you want to sponsor us, guys, head on over to send us an email at RomanDH@Yahoo.com. And Guillermo, this marks the first time that we are on prime time. This is a big deal. You know, prime time is a great time to get out there, go on the computer. We're no longer at 11 p.m. because in the East time, so Some of us are going to sleep to get up to work, so there is no excuse why you shouldn't be listening right now. And with that being said, if you want to call in, you have a question for Guillermo or I, head on over, pick up your phone, 714-868-0222 is the number, 714-868-0222 is the number, and head on over to the chat room so you can ask some questions there or send us questions via Twitter. Now, with that being said, we're going to lay off Bellator now, and we're going to talk about some of the news that's happening in the world of mixed martial arts. And I want to touch base as far as the UFC 142, which will take place January 14 in Rio de Janeiro. That's at the HSBC Arena. And it appears that Mike Pyle will be facing Paulo Thiago. That is just one of the fights being said that's going to happen. And also, Guillermo, we also have here another news as far as the UFC and the ratings. They say that as far as preliminaries, it actually rebounds slightly from its previous figure of 1.2 million viewers and an overall of 0.9 household rating. So, and at the same time, they were competing with Bellator there. So that's a tough battle considering that they went on the air at 8 p.m. And 8 p.m., I think around 8:30 is when the Eddie Alvarez and Chandler fight happened. That's a title in itself. And that's what we went ahead and asked Bjorn as far as, do you think they're going to have Bellator at another date or another time? Because that Bellator has been doing that lately. If a UFC has an event, they moved up their time. And we saw it at this event. It seemed to work because people were there and the ratings bumped up. So they must be doing something right there. Now, as far as Strikeforce, they had an event on Friday. That event, the Challengers 20 event, didn't do so well. It actually went down nearly 80% from the 200,000 tuned in as far as the Strikeforce Challengers 19 in September. So they had 143,000 viewers compared to the 43 they had in the past show. That morning, say here in Eastern time, we saw Fedor Emelianenko versus the ATT standout, Jeff Munson. And Fedor, not to say that he looked great, but he pretty much had Jeff Munson number the
Emma. Yeah, I mean, Munson's known as a ground fighter, and he couldn't get it to the ground. And his stand-up's never been that great. So Fedor just had his way with him. That's basically what happened. And Fedor knocked him down a few times and was smart enough not to just go diving into his guard like he did with Verdum. And he just made him stand up and continued to beat him. And he just used that strategy for three rounds to destroy Munson, basically. And I can't blame him. It was the right strategy. You know, going to the ground with former two-time Abu Dhabi world champion at the heavyweight division in Munson is not a good idea. And he did the right thing by keeping his standing.
Well, now they're saying, Guillermo, that Fedor might be fighting come New Year's Eve for the Dream event that's going to be airing on TV. And they haven't come up with an opponent yet, but another person who will be joining him will be Shin Aoki. So Fedor and Shin Aoki will possibly be on the Dream New Year's Eve event they always have. That's on December 1st in Japan. That's the fight of Fedor, who looks for the second win a role. And it was a huge event over there in Russia. If you haven't seen it, that fight, it's on the internet. You can go ahead and Google it, or I believe the Fight Nerd has it. Head on over, watch that fight. You'll see how he dominates Jeff Munson, who was out there representing South Florida, because that's where he came in America's Team Coconut Creek. He was also joined by UFC veteran Dean Thomas on his corners. But Munson, like you said, he tried taking it to the ground, and Fedor played his card right. And every time Jeff Munson attempted a shot, boom, Fedor just wiped him out. And Fedor actually gained a couple of pounds for this fight, Guillermo. He increased about, I'm not quite sure, but about 10 pounds or so for this fight. And he had to be impressive considering that he had former high official, Russian high official, Vladimir Putin in the house, and so many others in Russia. This is a huge deal over there, seeing The Last Emperor in Russia. Again, if you that opportunity, head on over to one of the MMA sites. Good job when you see Fedor coming up. But speaking about Fedor, I don't know if you're aware of this, but this is just news that has been popped out. According to Russian sports portal, ChampionAT.ru, this is a Russian media outlet. You ready for this, Guillermo?
What's that?
And an interview. N1 Global boss, Finkelstein, who revealed about his promotions plans for the next year. All right, according to him, N1 Global will offer the UFC a super fight between its newly revived ace, Fedor. And get this, are you ready for this? The former heavyweight champion, Cain Velasquez. That is what Finkelstein of M1 Global could possibly be offering to the UFC. Now, and this is what he quotes. We are determined to move forward and would like to offer the UFC a fight between Cain Velasquez and Fedor. N1 Global would take a full responsibility of organizing the fight sometime during 2012 in Moscow, Russia. I can guarantee Dana White great revenue from this fight and the record-breaking attendance. N1 Global is ready for a dialogue and would be happy to consider an option of organizing such tournament. With combined efforts, I will make an offer to my best friend pretty soon. So we'll see what he has to say. There it is, Guillermo. It's on the table.
Yeah, N1 Global. Never going to take them up on that offer. I mean, they've had bad relations with Vadim Finkelstein before in trying to get a contract with Fedor that didn't work out. And so we've heard Dana White's stance on this before. He will not work with M1 on anything like that. The UFC's unwilling to use the brand that they've built it up to help another company rise. So Vadim's got to know that this is just a publicity stunt. It's not going to go anywhere. Even if he's serious, I don't think Dana White's going to take him very seriously at all.
And speaking of the UFC, UFC is getting ready for the Ultimate Fighter in Brazil. And it's all going to be fun in Portuguese. So if you don't know any Portuguese, and all I know basically is Buenas noches, and I guess up to four. I go up to four as far as numbers. But it's going to be out there in Sao Paulo starting December 14th. It's going to be featuring the Brazilian middleweight and lightweight fighters. And they are all invited to try out. And we can see these guys on the Ultimate Fighter. I think this is just the start, Guillermo, of the expansion of mixed martial arts, although it already started. But this is basically to really put a seed in each country or continent for that matter.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is a necessary expansion by the UFC of the TUF, the Ultimate Fighter brand. There's so much talent in Brazil that it'd be dumb for them not to try to procure some of this talent and see, you know, which guys are worth keeping and which ones are not. And the Ultimate Fighter is a great way of figuring that out. It should bring up some of the talent, infuse these divisions with some new Brazilian talent, and give the spotlight to the Brazilian people, because they're such big fans of everything, and now they get their own show tailored to them. Should be great.
And from there on, we could even expect possibly the Ultimate Fighter Mexico or South America.
Yeah. Dana White's talked about this a lot. Uh-huh. He's talked about Mexico for the lighter weight classes, trying to build up the bantamweights and featherweights. He's also talked about Canada many times. He's even talked about the Philippines before. So we'll see where they're going with this. They've thought about China and India as well, so we got to see where they go with this. But I think it's a smart move to go with Brazil first and maybe go to Canada second, because there are definitely a lot of fans and a lot of fighters that come from those areas.
Mm-hmm. And, guys, the number to call, one again, a reminder, 714-868-0222, 714-868-0222. And staying on the subject of the UFC, what a fight between Hendo and Shogun. Wow, what a fight. Amazing, these two guys going at it. And I'm not sure if you got to see that picture of both Hendo and Shogun hugging each other after the fight. And that just shows you the respect that fighters have for each other. This, and like you said earlier today, Guillermo, the first few rounds was all Henderson. But then from there on out, it could have gone either way. And it's just amazing that both of these guys stayed for five complete rounds. Many people were kind of not too convinced with the outcome of it. Some were saying it was a draw. Some were saying that Shogun should have won it. But then again, it was an epic battle. And heck, Shogun already said that I wouldn't mind a rematch against Henderson.
Yeah, absolutely. In my opinion, the way I scored it, and I told you because we watched it together, I thought that was a draw. Thought Henderson took the first three rounds, 10-9. Thought Shogun took the fourth round, 10-9. And then the final round was a 10-8. Unfortunately, the judges scored it a 10-9 in the fifth round. I don't know how they did that because Shogun completely dominated Henderson. So I thought it should have been a draw. Same thing Dana White said. Same thing most of the major websites have said. They all thought it was a draw as well. So, you know, rematch would be great, even though I think at Henderson's age, they need to get him a title shot as soon as possible because, it, you know, one loss and he's no longer a title contender ever again, you know, at his age. So, you know, Shogun can take the loss more than Henderson can. Shogun's still pretty young, still can recover from this and still make another title run in the future. But, you know, Shogun, I don't think he'll be going too far back in the division. Dana White sees it as a draw, and he'll probably place him in his next fight accordingly, assuming that it was a draw instead of a loss for Shogun. So, yeah, I thought it was a draw in my opinion, and yeah, it was a great fight.
Uriah Faber, let's talk to Uriah Faber. He looked phenomenal inside the cage or the octagon against Brian Bowes, a former champion, so much that he has earned a title shot against Dominic Cruz. So can we see a different Faber when it comes to Dominic Cruz with his unique defensive style and unique way of fighting inside the octagon, Guillermo?
Well, you know, me personally, I've always not liked it that Faber gets title shots after one victory. Only he's done it several times in his career. But in this case, I can't hate it because there's really nobody else in the division right now that can claim that they have a right to a title shot. Faber's the only one who's made his name and has stood out, and so he deserves it this time. He also had a very close fight with Cruz the last time, but he's going to have to make some adjustments in order to counter some of the things that Cruz did in the last fight. It could go either way. Faber's beaten Cruz before, even though it was when Cruz was a lot younger. And, you know, Cruz, you know, there were some things that were exploited by Demetrius Johnson against Cruz where, you know, he showed that speed can counter some of the things that Cruz does. So that's what Faber's got to do. He's got to work on his speed and his technique, take some of the things that Demetrius Johnson did. And, of course, Faber's got the wrestling that Demetrius Johnson didn't have and the size that Demetrius Johnson didn't have to counteract Dominic's wrestling ability. So if he can kind of put together what he can do and what Demetrius Johnson did in his fight against Cruz, he can have an excellent chance of beating Cruz.
Another person or two individuals that were out there, Stephen Bonner, calling out Rampage and apologizing to the crowd.
Well, he was actually calling out Josh Koscheck. Didn't
Koscheck,
you say that?
Sorry, Koscheck.
Yeah,
Koscheck,
not
I
Rampage.
Apologize.
Yeah.
I was reading something on Rampage in front of your face.
Well, yeah,
he was
calling out Koscheck over a bad T-shirt deal or something, and apparently Bonner says that now it's his fault that the T-shirt deal went bad and he apologized to Koscheck. I mean, they're not even close to being in the same weight class, so I don't think that fight would have ever happened, but who knows.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of action that happened this weekend, like we stated, in the world of mixed martial arts. And again, Eric Prindle, I just pretty much assumed that he's just training right now as he has a fight coming up. So we promised that we'll have him on the next show to talk a little bit about his upcoming bout. He was scheduled to call in at 8:30 p.m. It's already 8:48. We haven't heard from him, so our apologies on our end since he has not called in. But, guys, an amazing weekend. And, again, Eric Prindle does fight this Saturday along there with Alexis Vila. Two of those fights, the top two fights, for one, the heavyweight tourney final, and then they got the bantamweight tourney final. And the winner of those fights will then fight the winner of their respective weight class. So we still got MMA, guys. I know we got a lot of football this week, considering it is Turkey Day on Thursday. But no worries. We still got a lot of MMA. And then after that, I believe the first week of December, we have the Ultimate Fighter finale. And then we also forgot about another one that's been hyped up, and that's the Gilbert Melendez versus George Masvidal Strikeforce for the lightweight belt. That's another fight that has kind of put him in the back. And we also have John Jones versus your boy, Machida.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to that. My boy Machida. Like I said, a lot of people don't believe in him. I hate it how people keep on discounting him, you know. People are like, oh, maybe with his win, Dan Henderson will get a shot at John Jones. I'm like, what, for a non-title fight? Because I'm still saying, man, my boy Machida is going to win that fight. A lot of people are not even giving Machida any shot in the world. And when you look at, you see a John Jones is basically undefeated if you don't count the disqualification loss. But you got to look at it style-wise. You can't look at it, what did Machida do the last three fights? Style-wise, Machida's actually got a style that can beat Jones. I mean, a lot of people might not agree with me, but they're saying Jones is going to take him down and pound him out. When was the last time you saw Machida get taken down by anybody and held for any sort of long period of time? You're not going to be able to find it because it's never happened. Rampage took him for 5 seconds and he got right back up. The one time Machida got knocked out by Shogun, it wasn't because he got taken down. He got knocked down. So, Jones is wrestling. I don't know how much is that going to actually factor in. Standing up, a lot of people think, well, Jones' reach and all this, or his unorthodox striking are going to give Machida problems, but Machida is the type of counter fighter that if you go for some wild move like that, he's going to knock you out with the counter. And he's accurate fast enough to actually make that happen, as you saw in the fight with Rashad Evans. So, I might be biased, but I believe Machida's got at least a 50% chance of winning this fight. And people might call me crazy for that, but that's just my opinion.
And, guys, the number to call, 714-868-0222 is the number to call in, and if you have a question or two or any of the topics that we have discussed. Now, another news that has been circling around the world of mixed martial arts, Chael Sonnen will be in action, but it's not going to be against Anderson Silva, as it's been said that likely Sonnen and Munhoz will be going at it on UFC on Fox number 2. And this, as far as I am correct here, I want to double check here on the actual. They don't have an exact date, but it will be early next year. So Mark Munhoz versus Chael Sonnen, and on that card too will be Jake Ellenberger, will be on there, and also featured will be Diego Sanchez. So Chael Sonnen will not get his wish yet. Now the winner of Sonnen and Munhoz will get a title shot against the champion Anderson Silva. Sonnen must be a little ticked off, I would say.
He's actually the one who wanted the fight. Dana White said that Anderson was going to be out until like April or June, and Chael said he's actually not willing to wait for Anderson. He wants to fight. Wow. He wants to make money, you know. And for those people who don't believe he earned his title shot, he's more than willing to prove them wrong by actually taking on the only other guy who's actually worthy of a title shot right now, which is Munhoz. So this is actually good for the UFC because, you know, a lot of people were disputing whether it should be Munhoz or Kale, and now they'll get to battle it out and decide for themselves who should fight Anderson next. So I don't see anything wrong with this. Actually, Chael's the one who actually requested to fight. He didn't want to wait around, you know, six, eight months for Anderson to get healthy.
So it won't be happening on Super Bowl weekend as he requested. And as Chael Sonnen said, he's already the champion and he's defending his belt, as he has stated numerous times on several media outlets. Now, with that being said, there's a lot of stuff, and now we're awaiting again. Let's see if we can reach out to Eric Prindle. And mind you, Eric Prindle, and he is one of the, I think we saw one of the top highlights there. He knocked out his last opponent, I think, like in a few seconds or whatnot.
Yeah, it was like about 40 seconds or something like that. It's against Ron Sparks, who was actually undefeated and had just come off a great knockout himself in the quarterfinal round.
And there you go. You know, when you face, and no matter how good you are, no matter how ranked you are, it doesn't matter. If you're fighting an undefeated guy, whether it be 6 or 7 fights, it don't matter how much experience you have or how much of a veteran you are. And every dog has his day inside the cage. Look what happened to Eddie Alvarez.
Yeah, there's something to be said for an undefeated fighter. They come in with the confidence that they can't get beat, and it's a little bit harder to beat them, but at the end of the day, you know, all it takes is one huge punch, and, you know, you can knock out somebody. And so that's what happened to Ron Sparks against Eric Prindle, and it was the other way around for Michael Chandler. That undefeated record gave him the confidence to go in there against a guy like Eddie Alvarez and not be intimidated and come out there and, you know, fight hard and not be beaten before he even gets in the cage like a lot of these
Please
guys
enjoy
are.
Enjoy this Verizon ringback tone while your party is
all
reached.
Right. We're going to try to reach out to 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name. It's 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name. Well, unfortunately, as we stated, Eric Prinopati is busy right now, and we apologize for the music. That was part of the phone call, but he is a bit busy, as we can see, so we will have him here on the next show, possibly. We apologize for not having him here. As I stated, he is probably training. Now, there is, turning now, as we were talking about the UFC and all these other things, Jeff Munson, which is the fight being set against Fedor, he just stated in one of these interviews that he ruptured his patella from Fedor. And he also broke his femur. Munson definitely feeling the effects of the emperor out of the fight. You know, and who's to say what could happen next for the future of Jeff Munson? What do you think? Do you think he just, stick to the grappling game or still be in the world of mixed martial arts, probably in local small promotions?
Like, well, I see Jeff Munson as the type of guy like a Dan Severin, you know, who just continues to fight into old age and, you know, just fights in regional promotions. And, you know, he'll win plenty of regional titles and he'll beat most guys. Like, I'll tell you, he'll win 7 out of every 10 fights easily. But I don't think he'll ever be a big-time player in a major promotion again. We may on the, fourth or third fight of the Bellator or something like that, but I don't think we'll ever see him challenging for a title or fighting a super-duper fighter, like a, you know, top-ranked fighter. We may see him against a washed-up, you know, older fighter who used to be at the top of the game, like maybe an Arlovski or some guy like that, but I don't think we're going to see him, like, challenging for, you know, not John Jones, but, you know, Cain Velasquez or Junior Dos Santos. I don't think that'll ever happen again.
Yeah, so the future of Jeff Munson, like you stated, I don't, he was last before this, he was in Strikeforce.
He's already pretty old, you know, I mean, he's already in his 40s, I believe, so. We may see him fighting, you know, until 45, 50, maybe, but it'll be on local promotions against a bunch of guys you never heard of, you know?
Yeah, no doubt, and he last fought Cormier, who's not going to be fighting Josh Barnett on that heavyweight tournament there in Strikeforce, which we haven't heard yet anything, an exact date, because Cormier was still healing from his hand injury. So curious to see. And I'm looking forward to that fight. I think it'll be pretty entertaining considering Josh Barnett is a great fighter. And Cormier being out of the camp of Cain Velasquez and Josh Koscheck, phenomenal when it comes to wrestling all those guys. And Josh Barnett being a great wrestler himself. Wow, it could be anyone's day that night when these two face off inside the Strikeforce cage.
Yeah, absolutely. That fight could go either way. I mean, if somehow we've never seen Cormier on his back, but if it did get to that point, I think Josh would have a definitive advantage because Cormier is probably not used to working off his back. But it's got to be very hard for Josh to get it there because Cormier, like you said, is an Olympic level wrestler, and so. Stand-up wise, I think they're about even, and so it could go either way. Josh off his back, he's very good off his back, and he's very good at executing sweeps and stuff, so I don't feel that Cormier would have too much of an advantage there, even though he might be able to get in some good ground and pounds. But that fight, yeah, that's a very hard fight to choose because a lot of people underestimated Cormier's abilities against Antonio Silva, for example, and he showed them up, you know, and so who knows? I mean, who knows how much Cormier has learned since the last time, you know?
So there you go. And now just a quick recap here of what to expect. November 26th, we got Bellator 59. It's this Saturday with Alexis Villa and Eric Prindle, which hopefully we'll get him here on the show after his fight on Saturday. Then we have the Ultimate Fighter 14 finale. That's on December 3rd, followed by December 10th. That's the UFC 140. Guillermo, I guess you're just counting down between seeing these guys, Machida and Jones, go one-on-one. You're just counting the days. You have a calendar, you just X days?
I can't wait for that fight because, like I said, I have a strong belief that Machida has the goods in this fight. And a lot of people are going to be shocked, in my opinion. That's what I think is going to happen. I'd be willing to put money down on that. But don't discount these fights that are coming up. Prindle and Thiago Santos for the heavyweight tournament title in Bellator, that should not go very long. I mean, Santos just got a wicked knockout against Neil Grove in their semifinal bout. And same thing, Prindle knocked out Ron Sparks in no time in his semifinal bout. So that fight, with heavyweights, classically, they don't go very long anyway. But I think one of them is either going to go down. Santos is very good on the ground. So if he gets it down, expect Prindle to be submitted. But could go either way. I mean, it could go either way. Just depends on where the fight goes. Alexis
and the
Vila
fight.
Yeah, Alexis Vila. That fight, Vila did not look good in his last fight. Like, you and me even thought that he might have lost that decision. So it'd be interesting to see how he comes up against this guy, Dantas. Dantas is supposed to be a prodigy, supposed to be the next big thing in that division. He's young. He's a lot taller, has a lot longer reach than Vila. He's very well-rounded. So it's going to be interesting to see how Vila does against this guy.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be very interesting. And it's, as far as Vila, he's in his 40s, and you got a youngster who's a phenomenal on the ground. So I think that Vila should definitely use his knockout power come this time around. But at least this time, they'll be evenly matched when it comes to height, because last opponent really had a size advantage. With Alexis Vila.
Yeah, Galvao really gave him problems because Vila was just winging wild punches. And, Galvao was walking him down the whole fight and using more technical, precise striking instead of just throwing crazy haymakers like Vila was. Vila's got to, set up his punches better than that, because when you throw wild punches like that, that stuff only works against guys who are not experienced in striking like Joe Warren. Against a more technical striker, they'll exploit that and counter you and make you pay for throwing those wild punches. So Vila has a lot to work on from his last fight, and hopefully he's learned something and will bring something more to this fight with Dantas.
That's right, and then he'll get his title shot after he wins that. And good luck to Alexis Vila. We wish him over there come this Saturday at Bellator 59. And with that being said, guys, come December 30th, we have, and I'm looking forward to this one, Lesnar versus Overeem, UFC 141. And hopefully my boy Brock could come up against Overeem. And the winner of that gets a title shot against JDS. Mm-hmm. And that fight could go, I could just throw a coin in the air, and I don't know who's going to take it, to be honest. He's got just two big beasts in there. Lesnar should obviously use his wrestling skill. Overeem, I'm sure he's preparing for that. I'm sure he's practicing on his sprawling. And I don't know. It's anyone's fight come December 30th. A new date for the UFC, that they're going to have this show on a Friday instead of a Saturday. So that's going to be interesting to watch. Nonetheless, hey, guys, follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. Sponsor us, RomanDH at yahoo.com. Next week, we'll be back to a regularly scheduled time, which is 11 p.m. on Wednesday, right after the Ultimate Fighter. And then we're going to try to see if we keep doing this prime time thing here. I think it works quite well. And guys, on behalf of the Roman Show, we want to wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. Don't be fighting with the turkeys. And don't be fighting in your little seats and your family dinners. Keep the hate away. And let's get together on this Thanksgiving. Guillermo, you got a lot of plans for this coming Thanksgiving?
Yeah, absolutely. Going over to the sister's house, having dinner with my nephew and niece. And then Saturday, going over to my uncle's house in Key Largo for some fishing and Thanksgiving dinner. That should be pretty good.
Yeah. My girlfriend's going to be cooking a nice turkey. I look forward to eating that stuff. So a lot of fun out there, guys. Please be careful out there. If you drink, don't drive. Be cool, be safe, and follow us on Twitter at RomanDH, the Facebook, facebook.com/RodolfoRRoman, and the website, RodolfoRoman.com. And on Monday, during just a few minutes,
before Raw ends, the Roman Show Pro Wrestling will have Jesse Neal. Jesse Neal of TNA, and he has a lot of stuff to say as he was released, or he left, actually, TNA. He'll give us the inside scoop why he left. And this is a former person who was in the military, guys. He was actually a Navy, a Navy SEALs, and a very important person when it came to TNA. They decided to send him up north to Ohio to train, and Jesse Neal said, nope, no sir. So, guys, if you were to call in, I see a lot of guests out there on the chat room. 714-868-0222 is the number. 714-868-0222 is the number. But, again, guys, we'll be back next Wednesday at 11 p.m. for the MMA show and the pro wrestling show on Monday at 11 p.m. as well. So, guys, on behalf of Guillermo, the Roman Show, myself, Rodolfo Roman, we wish you all a very happy, thankful, happy-go-lucky Thanksgiving. Play a lot of football. Catch up on your MMA, whatever the heck you got to do. But be safe, guys, and we'll see you here next week on The Roman Show. Good night, guys.
You are about to listen to The Roman Show.
The most informative show in mixed martial arts and pro wrestling on the net. Award-winning journalist Rodolfo Roman tackles and gets down to the nitty-gritty of the sport with exclusive interviews. Sit back, relax, stay up to date. Let the Roman Show inform you. Call in live to participate. 714-868-0222. Let the Roman Show begin.
Woman with a future and a past. A little attitude problem, all good, it'll make the shit last. Don't make it too easy, girl, don't take it too fast. Yeah, that's it right there, that's it, do it just like that. Only you could do it just like that. And I love it when your hair's still wet, cause you just took a shower. Running on a treadmill and on the eating salad. Sound so smart like you graduated college. Like you went to Yale, but you probably went to Howard knowing you. Weekend in Miami trying to study by the pool. Couple things do, but you always get it done. Might have been a time where I loved her too, but you take that away and you always been the one. I wonder why the moon looks nice, girl. Maybe it's just right for the night. You see niggas coming on too strong, girl. They want you in their life as a wife. That's why you wanna have no sex, why you wanna protest, why you wanna fight for your rights. Cause you don't love them boys, pussy run they thing, fuck that noise. I know things get hard, but girl, you got it, there you go. Can't you tell by how they looking at you everywhere you go? Wondering what's on your mind, it must be hard to be that fine. When all these motherfuckers wanna waste your time, it's just amazing, girl. And all I can say is, I'm so proud of you. I'm so